up in that sky and you see the orderliness of the sky. That orderliness has been there since God spoke it into existence. Nothing has moved since he spoke it, except that they go in their orbits. But don't you think it's interesting that they just still sit there? They don't start moving. They don't start crashing. They don't start. No, we've never had a scare where there's some planet headed toward the earth going to run into us. Never happened. Why? Because God put this thing in order. It is his handiwork. It is in perfection. It was done in wisdom. When we start talking about this creator, we're talking about the creator. The heavens declare. They speak loudly. You can go out at night and you can't hear a pin drop, but the heavens are screaming the glory of God. And an awesome silence proclaiming his glory, his wisdom, and his handiwork. It shouts, what is it saying? God is. When you see that orderliness, when you see that this thing didn't just happen, there's no Big Bang. Big Bang doesn't make a bit of sense. This thing is too orderly. It was designed. And if you come to the conclusion that it was designed, you have to come to the conclusion there's a designer. The heavens declare God is. God is. What about God? God is all powerful. You know, for him to have made this universe as big as it is, God had to be bigger than the universe. We talked about this a couple of years ago. We talked about the universe, the creation, and how God, there are stars, I can't wrap my head around this, that are so huge that our whole solar system would fit in one star. I can't do that. My brain can't do that. Maybe yours can. But the heavens declare the glory of God. And it shows his handiwork. And if God can do that, what about me and you? What about our problems? What about our situations? You think if God can provide all of that with his power, he's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He not only created all this stuff, he sustains it. He didn't just make it and leave, and then all of a sudden it just went haywire. Right. Ever since he made it, he has kept it in. Jude 25 says the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power. His power is mentioned forever, now and ever. Colossians 1:17 says he existed before anything else. And in him all things consist. That just means he holds all things together. That's why it's just sitting there for you to look at. If you didn't know there was a God, you look up in the sky, you should start scratching your head and saying, wait a minute, why aren't those things moving around? Why don't those stars start to move around? Because the great designer, the great creator is sustaining them. He is holding them all together. Isaiah 40:21 says, haven't you heard? This is in some version I don't remember. Don't you understand? Are you deaf to the words of God? The words he gave before the words, before the world began, he gave the words. He gave the words in the stars. The stars are speaking to us, declaring the greatness of God, declaring his omnipotence, declaring not only his omnipotence, but in declaring his omniscience. He knows the beginning. I say that from the Isaiah 46:10 says it, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done. I like what one man said years ago. He said, what God finishes, he begins. He finishes it because God is not in time. We're in time. God created time. Time had a beginning. But God was already there in eternity. So God coming into time through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came out of eternity and out of his glory to come down here to be one of us. He condescended. That's the word. Condescended means he left his glory to come down here and be like one of us. Declaring the end from the beginning. And he's all present. He's everywhere all at once. Colossians 1:17 says he is before all things and in him all things consist. We said that already. Exodus 3:14 says God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me. Because God is not a God who was. God is. The same God that is right now is the same creator who is, okay, you got trying to understand this. God is in the past. God is in the future. God is always a is. He's not a was. God always was and always will be because God is. He told Moses to tell him that I am sent you because he is. What do you need him to be? He is that. You need him to be a healer? I am that. You need him to be a provider? I am that. You need him to be somebody to sit with you and talk with you? A comforter? I am that. You need him to be Sarah's maid was out by herself. You need somebody who is there, who sees, God sees. I am. Psalm 90 and verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth ever had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Do you know what that means from everlasting to everlasting? Everlasting in the back, everlasting in the past, everlasting in the future. That means the vanishing point. That means you can get your telescope out and see how far it will let you see. And beyond that point where you can't know, where you no longer can focus it, that's the vanishing point. That's everlasting. Everlasting in the back, in the past. Everlasting in the front, in the future. I am. Psalm 139 and 7, or not 7, Psalm 130, I don't know what verse it is now. I didn't write it on here. Where can I go? Oh, it's, I know what it is. He says, where can I, starts with verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I hide? If I ascend into the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. And so the heavens declare the glory of God. It tells us about the wisdom of God. And it also tells us about the love of God. John 3:16. For God so loved the cosmos, the world that he had made and all that is in it, that he gave his only begotten son. And so we jump down because now that he has shown us this awesome creator, who is all-knowing, ever-present, and all-powerful. But there is a problem, because just seeing creation won't save you. I say that because you got people that's what they live for. They live for the stars, astrologers. So the stars and the heavens were put there not so you can go and try to figure out your future. That's not what it's for. But they were for signs and seasons. This is what it says in the book of Genesis. It says they were for signs and seasons, for years and for days. But because of the fall of man, because of Adam's fall, we read in Romans 8 and 20, it says, because creation has been subjected to futility and bondage, we need something that now reveals more clearly the character of God. You saw the signs in the heavens, and those signs in the heavens were to direct you and make you understand that there is a God. Right. Yeah. Now that you know there is a God, God put something in you that causes you to decide, I need to search this thing out. I need to discover who this creator, this designer is. And so when we go down to the next section, verse 7, he starts talking about the word of God. And you read those next few verses and it reminds you of Psalm 119. If you've never read the Psalm 119, 119 is the longest psalm in the book. And it is about the word of God. Every 8 verses uses the first, second, third, all of the alphabet in the Hebrew language are used in that acrostic in the 119 psalm. It's a long psalm. 8 verses of A, Alpha, Aleph, 8 verses of Beta, 8 verses of Gamma. And you keep reading, and each word in that verse starts with that letter. But they all allude to this same thing we're going to read here. And when we start reading verse 7, he says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. So far we've seen what? The law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, and the statutes of the Lord. Rejoicing in the commandment of the Lord. Another word for the word of God, the law. Commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Then it says the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Verse 10 says, more to be desired are they than gold. The word of God is that important for us. It's that valuable for us. We like to go and we like to store up and we like to save up and we like to put our money in accounts, and we got CDs and we got IRAs and we got bank accounts, savings accounts, and we got all these. We got money in gold. We got money in this new currency. Fitbit or whatever they call it, whatever that thing is. My son has that, son, huh? Bitcoin, Fitboin, Bitcoin. Fitbit. Bitcoin. So we have all this because we want things that are of value, and especially those things that will hold their value. But he says here, the word of God is more valuable, more to be desired than fine gold. Because it has benefits. It makes wise the simple. So what I think as you get older, you start to realize the things that we used to think were of importance and of value, you know, how we looked, you know, because we were trying to catch, you know, we're trying to find a mate. You know, how we dress and all those things. Those things were important early, when we were young. When we got older, we started to, you know, a nice warm bed. It's very important. It's very important. But he says the word of God is of great value. the last verse that we read, not the last verse I read, but the most important verse, the summation of those verses. Moreover, verse 11, by them, meaning the word of God, is thy servant warned. So the word of God has a lot of benefits, and it has a lot of things we can read in it that make us feel good, gives us comfort, gives us direction, but we can't forget about the warnings in the word. Deuteronomy 28 gave us all those things. It says, if you keep my commandments, keep my statutes, keep my laws, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. But then it comes back and says, if you don't, all these curses will come upon you and do the same thing. They will overtake you. So it says what? By these words, thy servant is warned. Every so often, when you leave church service, you shouldn't always leave feeling happy. You should sometimes leave feeling like I got some work to do. I got some improvement to do. And so we find out that Philippians 4 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue, any praise, think on these things. The word of God. Think on those things. So far, we've looked at three aspects in these verses. We looked at the voice of creation in the first three verses. We looked at the value of instruction. The word of God has value. Now I want to look at a third part, the vexing image that I see in the mirror. So we had the creation. We saw how the creation declared the glory of God. Then we found out that creation can't save you. You need the word of God. The word of God to give you direction, to show you that there are problems that you need to fix. James says that you have to go and take this word and look at it like it's a mirror. James 1:23 says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he saw. You look in the mirror because you want to make sure your hair is in place. You want to make sure you don't have spinach in your teeth. You want to make sure there's nothing in your nose. You want to make sure that all the things, when you go outside, that you don't have flaws. That's what this word does. This word does comfort. This word does tell us about the power of God and and all the benefits of the word. But it also tells us that in Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we need help. And it goes on and says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Psalm 51 tells us about our flaws. Verse 5 says, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And then he asks for help. And this is why we look in the mirror. We look in the mirror for our flaws because we know that when we find those flaws, we need help. David had sinned, and after he recognized his sin, he lets the Lord know, I know why I'm like this. I'm born in sin, shapen in iniquity. But then he says in verse 7, purge me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. After you've cleaned me up, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a right spirit within me. We want to have a spirit that is pleasing to God. We want to look good on the inside, not just on the outside. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit with me. Verse 12, he said, restore unto me the joy. Because sin will take your joy away. You can't walk, not if you know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, you can sin all day. It won't bother you. But, you know, the Bible tells you that if you don't feel something when you mess up, you might not be you might not be saved, because the Bible talks about you could be, the Bible says you're illegitimate. I won't say the word. So we look in that mirror, we see how God is able to correct. He can purge, he can create, he can renew and restore. And then he says, and uphold me. Yes. Uphold me. Hold me up. You know, sometimes sin will put us, we're down. We're thank God. God is able to reach down. Lift me up. Set my feet on a solid rock. And establish my goings. Finally, he is our faithful creator. And he's faithful even when we're not faithful. 2 Timothy 2:11 says, this saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, God forbid, but if we're faithless, he remains faithful. Guess what? We're fickle. People are fickle. People change. People will let you down. People will fail you. Husbands, your wives will fail you. Wives, your husbands will fail you. We are failures. That's just how we're made. We don't do everything perfectly. Paul would say what? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? But he had to answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is among you. He is mighty to save. Yes. Our faithful creator is faithful when we're not. Our faithful creator is mighty to save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. You never thought that God rejoiced over us. He rejoices over us. You know, when you got saved, all heaven rejoiced. Yeah, all heaven. The Bible says all heaven rejoices over one sinner that comes to repentance. One sinner. He's faithful. He's a faithful creator. He's faithful to deliver us out of our quandaries. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Because no temptation that is taken you is which is common to man. But God is faithful. And he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation of provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He's a faithful deliverer. He's faithful in his presence and in his concern for me. Psalm 139 verses 17 and 18 says, how precious also are your thoughts toward me, O God. How great is the sum of them. We've talked about this before. He says, if I should count them, this is God's thoughts towards you and towards me. He says, if I should count them, they would be more in number. I laugh and then I want to cry because this is crazy. More in number than the sand on the seashore. You know, when I was looking at this, this last time, I've read it so many times, and it just blows me away. But I was thinking about it this time, and I thought about it, say, you know what? A teaspoon of sand Just a teaspoon. I'm thinking to myself, let's see if I can get somebody to count how many grains of sand in a teaspoon. Okay, now just think about a cup full. How long you think it would take you? Those are how much God thinks about you. That's something. About you. We take that for granted, and I don't think we really grasp what that means. We worry. That verse says what? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. James said, you have not because you ask not. So you translate that, he says what? Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Because his thoughts towards you, all the time he's thinking about you. All the time. He says, if I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. You go to bed at night and you pray, say, Lord, thank you. You wake up in the morning, he's right there. He's faithful to finish the work he started in you. Philippians 1 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you, he will complete it until you leave this earth. He's going to complete it. 1 John 1:9, he is faithful to forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And finally, therefore, 1 Peter 4:19, back to the original verse. Therefore, let those suffering in accordance with God's will entrust themselves to a faithful creator while continuing to do good. So the address is to those that are suffering. And there's a lot of people right now listening to this that are suffering, going through. They're in the fire right now. This is a faithful creator I'm talking about. But he says that even though you're going through, continue to do good. Who's our example? Jesus. Amen. On the cross. After being tortured. After having to carry a cross in a weakened state up a hill so they could put him on it and hang him on it. He's on the cross. And he's still doing good. He's still thinking about other people. In pain. He's in pain. In a lot of pain and weak. Bled. He's been bleeding. I don't know what that feels like. I can't even stand up just like I do this for 5 minutes. I'm ready to, you know, give me some help. He was up there. And he looked down and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know. They don't know. They don't understand. And as he was breathing his last breaths, he looks down at his mom and said to John, behold your mother. And he looks at his mom and says, behold your son. In other words, you too. I'm not going to be there. You too. You know, he had brothers and sisters, but he didn't give his mom to them. He gave his mom to John. He gave him to the one who was called the beloved. Love. Acts 10:38 says, how God appointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. 1 Peter 3:17 says, for it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we endure hardship, we will reign with him. And as I finish, entrust yourself to your faithful creator. He's an awesome man. He's an awesome creator. And he will The same way he's able to create the heavens and the earth, he can create a new circumstance in your life. He can create new life in you. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. A faithful creator. My God. He's so faithful. He sent Jesus Christ. As the preacher have expounded on this word, we've heard about the sun and the stars and the moon up above and the thing called love, but we know that Jesus died for you and I. And here we are hearing the word of God. He let us know, the pastor let us know, the preacher let us know that just the heavens alone will not save us. The knowledge of God's word alone won't save us. But when we recognize from our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, by his word, we can surrender all to him and he will save us and place us in an eternal place to where we will spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're in the room today, if you're in your home today, if you're watching by Zoom or Facebook Live, and you haven't made this faithful creator the Lord of your life, today is the day to do it. Jesus said, I am the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He went on to say in Revelation, he said, I am the one who was alive, who was dead and now alive and alive forevermore. That Jesus, praise God, we want to spend eternity with him. Is there anyone today that want to sit on the chat or just where you are, whether you do the electronic thing or not, or in the house, and you want to give your life to this faithful creator, today is the day to do it. There's so many here, there's so many in the midst of COVID-19. We have emails, we have the newsletter, we have all sorts of things where you can communicate not only with us, but those who you may know that love Jesus, that you can give your heart today. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So why don't we pray today? There's needs in our ministry, in our fellowship. And we know this faithful creator who created us, as the preacher said, is concerned about us. He's concerned about us 24/7. He's concerned about us more than we're concerned about ourselves. What an awesome God he is. If these stars can be light years away, and you can focus every night on a certain place and it's always there. If the stars can always be there, you know the Lord Jesus is always there. In your trouble, in your pain, in your affliction, in your doubt, in your wavering, he said, I'm here. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that comforting to know? We serve an awesome God. We're not a religion. We are people that have a relationship with the God of the universe. He looked beyond my faults and he saw my needs. He saw that I was lost and on my way to hell, and he saved me. He saved you. He saved those around you. He's a faithful creator. And I don't care what you're going through today. I don't care what hand life has dealt you. Jesus said, I'm here. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will bring you through. I will turn your dark days into bright tomorrows. He'll do it. Thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this word on today. We thank you, Lord God, that you are our faithful creator. We pray for each and every one in the sound of our voice on today, Father, that person that may be contemplating giving their life to you. As my friend from so many years ago at a funeral service the other day, who's now up in age, I asked him, man, are you ready to give your life to Christ? And his response was, I better do it soon. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till you can't even raise your hand, because tomorrow is not promised to us. give it to God today. Father, I pray for that person that's on the verge of saying, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Restore to me the joy of your salvation for those who have wandered away, God. We ask that your Holy Spirit will touch our hearts and our minds now. In the name of Jesus, we pray for those who are sick and afflicted in their bodies, God. We pray for every ministry in this ministry and ministries that are branching out of this ministry and ministries across this world, God. We pray today that you alone will be glorified. So, Jesus, we'll never forget what you've done for us. And we'll never forget how you set us free. Jesus, we'll never forget, no, never. So, Father, we just thank you. We pray you in Jesus' name. Why don't we get out on a high note before the benediction? Jesus, I'll never forget. Can y'all just stand up? Let's praise the Lord for a few moments as we get ready to get up out of here.
Praise God. We'll be here all day. Father, we're just so thankful this afternoon. Lord, thankful for your word. We're thankful for the meeting and the receiving of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence with us today. We know that you are with us. We know you stirred our hearts. Lord, we know that you are a faithful and great creator. Lord, you're able to fix all the problems that we're going through and set them in order, even as you set those stars up in heaven and then you continue to hold them together. God, many of us are asking you, hold us together. Lord, somebody wants to give up. Oh God, help them today. Help them to hold it together. God, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for hearing our prayers. We're thankful for being faithful to us, even when we're not faithful. We thank you, Father, for your everlasting love. We thank you, you're such a good God, such a loving God. Your loving kindness is better than life. We ask, Lord, that you be with us. We ask, Lord, that you take the things that we've heard, help to settle them into our spirit, even as seeds planted in good ground, that they may bring forth much fruit, that you would get the glory. We bless your name today. We ask your blessing upon those that are here in the sanctuary. We bless your name. We ask that you bless those that are in our hearing on Zoom and Facebook. We ask, Lord, that you fix their problems. We ask that you set them in order, those things that they have brought before you, Lord, in prayer. God, hear the prayers of those for their children, the prayers of those for those that are in hospitals, the prayer for those that are having financial difficulties. Lord, hear the prayers of those that are having marriage issues. God, we thank you. You can set them in order. We bless your name today. Go before us as we leave this place or leave our Zoom meetings or whatever we are listening to this. And go before us and prepare the way. We ask in your blessing upon the box in the back. We thank you for the givers. We thank you for the ministry of giving. We thank you for the privilege of giving. You said, "Give it a good; it shall be given unto you. Good bread, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." You said you loved a cheerful giver. We thank you, Lord, for giving, for we use this to your glory. We thank you. Bless the musicians. Bless the music. All that praised your name today, for you're worthy of praise. We love you as best we know how. Bless us today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Saints, if you can, come off of mute and let's praise the Lord in this house today. Amen. Hallelujah. Evangelist Dolores, God bless you. Baby sister, God bless you. Hallelujah. Mother Lee.
Hallelujah.
Sister Mireya, Pastor Doc, Sister Pepper, Cousin Cuz. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Sister Patricia, God bless you. Is there a praise in the house? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, Mother Lee. Praise him. Praise him.
Sing, Mother Lee.
That's right. Yeah. I was trying to sing. I can't sing very good.
You sounded very good.
I know she can. Hallelujah. In praise to the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing praise to his name.
Yeah. All right, my God. Hallelujah. Hey, Rock, come up here and play with the Pope. Praise the Lord.
Love you guys.
Love you all.
Love you too.
Hey, there's a stranger in the house.
Love you all.
Hi, y'all.
Hey, God bless you all. I missed you. Thank you for all your prayers. I love you.
Y'all keep Sapati in prayer.
Pepper.
Bye. Brother Joe, God bless you, sir. Mother Teresa, we praying for you. Hallelujah.
Tell mommy prayer as well.
Tell mommy Rodan we said hello. Amen. Sapati, God bless you, Sapati. We love you, baby.
Love you, Sapati.
Love you, Sapati.
Mama Sonia, Mama Sonia, we love you.
Mark. Love you, Sonia. Love you, Camille.
Nice. Miss you.
Hi, Sandy and Pastor.
Warren, to show you.
Hey, sweetie.
Love you, guys.
Hi, how are you doing?
Love you.
I'm good.
Good to see you.
Good. I had chemo yesterday.
Oh, did you? How are you feeling today?
Good.
Praise God. Praise God. We're praying for you, sweetie. We love you.
Love you too. Thank you.
Now, everyone, have a great day. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Love you all, too. Love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a good day. Have a good week.
Take care. God bless everyone.
Hello.
Love you, Dada Jones. Love you, Pastor Jones.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
We love you, Sister Sia.
You,
you owe me a word, Sia.
I do.
You owe me a word, Sapati.
Okay.
Okay. Praise God. We love you so much, sweetheart. You're so precious. You're so pretty. Yeah. You're so beautiful. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. As the saints are signing out, we love you all so much. Mother Lee, you are so precious.
Thank you.
We love you so much. It's good. It's good for this ministry to have a mother like you.
Oh, thank you very much for that.
Amen. 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 Sister Mireya?
Yes.
This is my friend Sam. Brother Sam, come up here, Brother Sam. Over here, brother. Why don't you greet Sister Mireya and Mother Lee in Spanish? Come on over here and give them a word from the Lord. This is my friend, Mother Lee. This is Brother
Sister
Sam Rivera.
Sister Mireya, God bless you.
Nice to meet you.
Yes, nice to meet you, sister.
Spanish.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
I remember. Me acuerdo de la esposa. Su esposa, no. La esposa de...
La esposa del Pastor Warren.
La panameña, right?
Sí, somos
Exacto.
panameñas.
Sí, sí. Sí. Hablamos mucho tiempo aquel día.
Sí.
Y nos gozamos
Dios
bien.
Dios te bendiga.
Amén, hermano. That's your mother-in-law, right? Your mother-in-law, too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Mucho gusto, hermanos.
También, mucho gusto.
Gracias.
¿De dónde es usted?
De Puerto Rico.
Ah, eres
puertorriqueño.
Ajá.
Okay.
Okay, hermana.
De la isla.
De la isla del Caribe.
Sí. nuestro placer conocerlo.
Es un placer mío, mija. Dios te bendiga.
Igualmente.
Amén.
Well, I mean,
amen.
Yeah, that's when
she didn't come today, huh? We missed her today.
Sandy. No, that's Sandy. I've been just talking. Bye bye, Sapati. Love you, beautiful Sapati.
I said, say hello. Hey, I love you.
Love you too. Bye bye. Bye. Have a good week.